Today's gospel reading depicts one of the greatest examples of literary drama ever written. And there are so many sermons that can come out of it. It has all the dramatic effects, it has conflict, it has darkness, it has a riotous crowd, and two central characters where one is a villain and the other a victim. But who really is the villain? I first heard about Pontius Pilate when I was a little kid sitting in the congregation at Moody Memorial Methodist Church, probably with my mother pinching me to keep me still. And we recited Apostles' Creed every Sunday. And I would hear the name Pontius Pilate, and I always thought of a non-fatal airplane crash. Kids' minds. I've also heard the name pronounced Pontius Pilate. I think in the South we say Pontius Pilate as a redneck flinching or speech. I don't know which is right, it really doesn't matter. We know very little about Pontius Pilate. We know that he was the governor of Judea for approximately 10 years, when most terms of governors at that time were 3 years. We know that he was well connected in the upper echelons of Rome. One historian claims that he was married to the granddaughter of Caesar Augustus. His reputation, according to two writers of ancient history of the time, Josephus and Philo, say that he was a tyrant. Josephus relates how Pilate orchestrated a mass killing during a protest by having his soldiers dressed in regular clothes with their swords concealed, mingle among a protesting mass, and then on Pilate's signal, they drew their swords and killed hundreds of people. Another account relates how Pilate brought images of the emperor into Jerusalem in a direct challenge to Jewish law. That was a huge insult to the Jewish culture. So if that is indeed the type of man that Pilate was, why do the Gospels, all four of them, in fact, portray him as a reluctant participant in the killing of a man who was a direct threat to Rome and a Jew at that? Writers of literature, whether intentional or not, are going to have some degree of bias or spin in their stories. Sometimes it's done to sway people, but often it is more covert or innocent. Simply a happenstance of the historical era in which they write, with indirect influence from social, political, and cultural mores of the time. A modern example would be contrasting many of the writings of Southern culture in the 19th century to the writings of that same culture today. So why do John, Luke, Matthew, and Mark all portray Pilate as coming just short of refusing to condemn Jesus? I don't have any answer, but I can tell you this. It is fairly well established that Mark was the first gospel, as it was written in the later years of the first century. At that time, the war between the Jews and the Romans was still going on. Some historians hold out that it was, for the writers, politically expedient to blame the Jews for Christ's death rather than the Roman government represented by Pilate. That is an aspersion on the Jews that had carried on for centuries. Now fast forward some 250 years from that time and listen to the words of the church fathers at the Council of Nicaea. Was crucified under Pontius Pilate. There's no ambiguity in that statement. Historians believe that Pilate died a few years after the crucifixion, and there's at least one claim that he actually became a Christian prior to his death. Legend claims that his body was thrown into the Tigris River. As believers living in this post-Christian world of today, we continue to be confronted with modern-day Pilates. I know that I have seen him, and sadly, I know that I have also been him. Today's reading passion of our Lord with all its dramatic elements. Conflict of good versus evil helps remind me of the character that I should strive.